This is the Nerdy Old Men Podcast, recognized by City View Magazine as best of the best in podcasts. And here are your hosts, the old bald man Chad and Redneck Wes.
Hey, Wes.
We're back.
We are back. It is remote for Wes again today, but that's okay. Because we're playing D&D tonight, and Wes had to do some work stuff. So that's what we're doing, but we're still on the air. Well, we're on recorded, and then we'll be on the internet later, but you know how that is.
You know we're live is. Via the recording.
But it is D&D night for our group, so we're super freaking excited about that. Headed back to Ravenloft. Yeah, it's always rough in the holidays. It's always rough in the holidays.
I know, but we did level up the last time that we played.
That we did. So, we had some funky cursed weapons and all kinds of good stuff.
Hey, I got 2 Eldritch Blasts and Fireball now.
Yep.
Let the chaos ensue.
The goat man can shoot fire.
Fireball. I'm going to do that tonight for Scott.
You've got to.
Fireball.
For those of you that don't know, Wes's character in the current campaign is a tiefling, which looks like a goat. Plus, Wes sort of looks like Adam Sandler and can do the goat boy pretty good. So it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
Adam Sandler wasn't the goat boy.
Was he not?
No, come on.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Well, okay.
Don't doubt me.
All right. No, I won't doubt you.
Get back in your lane or...
Let me get back in my box.
Get your box.
Let me get back in my box, so... but anyway... So anyway, hey, you know, something that's something's interesting that you know, we talked before on the show about it, but it is confirmed we're going to do it probably in the spring or the summer. We're going to get together and we're going to go to Ancient Lore Village here in Knoxville, our gaming group, and we're going to have at least a one night, maybe a weekend thing. To do a one-shot adventure that our buddy Brian is going to run for us with our old-school high-level characters. And I think we talked about it before, didn't we, Wes, on here? That's going to be super fun and exciting. So I started kind of just plinking around with converting Lagar.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Well, I haven't done much. I just put in the very basic stuff and I've got his character sheet right over. Well, I got his character sheet over here in the closet in my old binder, so I got to get it out and actually go and put it in the system and try to figure out how to make it convert. But I don't think it's going to be that difficult. I think it's going to be fine.
I tried. Well, the thing is We did a lot of homebrew stuff.
Well, you know, some of that's just gonna just some, random. Right. Some of that's probably just gonna have to go temporarily just for this. So
and I was trying to figure out and I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna get 370 hit points. The math don't math.
Well, not anymore it doesn't.
And there was things that we had that does not exist in 5e.
Right. And that's okay.
Well, I know, but you're sitting there going, how did this work? And trying to go back. Well,
that's
true,
but none of us are even going to know.
20 years ago, we tried to figure out.
Well, yeah, and literally none of us are going to remember how to play any of those characters, so it's okay. It'll be fine.
Hold speak for yourself there, wizard boy.
Okay, hack and slash. I mean, it's not going to be that complicated
for you. You have one spell, okay?
I had 2 spells that I used primarily. Thank you very much.
Fireball.
No, it was time stop, and then
you had 3.
One to 4 fireballs, but still, one of those things. You know what I mean? It's okay. It's all right. You know, whatever.
We already jumped rails. We've been on like less than 2 minutes.
But no, I think that'll be really fun. But even before then, we're gonna get into the Ravenloft adventure tonight. I'm excited. We're running down these magical stones for those people. So, well, hang on just a minute. If you're interested in playing Curse of Strahd, you might want to realize we're going to say a little bit of a spoiler. Not much. So anyway, we're hunting down those magical stones for the bird people, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going to, this is going to be a whole thing tonight, all right?
I just have to tell is, already. Like,
but yeah. Anyway, so we're hunting those down, so that's going to be a really fun time. We're hoping maybe Brian can turn back into a bear and crap on people again, because that's great fun.
Well, you never realized how hilarious it would be to have a brown bear, you know, when you catch spider climb on it, so it's on the ceiling. Just the amount of hilarity that can ensue.
And you dispel it, and he falls on people. It's gravity.
Well, you know,
death by gravity.
Gravity, well, it does a lot.
Gravity's a bitch. Yeah. In D&D, it can be a big problem.
The first time we did that, just the look on Scott's face, he's like, oh, God, no. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Aggravating DM since 1991. there you go, Rucker. There's one for the show. I know our buddy Tim Rucker's listening, so there's one. Aggravating DM since 1991.
There you go. And Wes's picture for sure on that one.
Oh, absolutely.
But no, I mean, it's been a really fun adventure. I like it a lot, and you know, and we're really just not very far into it. But I'm excited about that. There's weird twists going on in that. It's like when we go to sleep, somebody doesn't heal all the way, so somebody's screwing around with us. So that's interesting. And you know, it's a neat thing. It's a real neat thing. So we'll have to figure out what all's going on in the world of Ravenloft. But, you know, what else is happening, man?
I was just glad to survive work last 2 weeks.
There we go.
That was great. Well, when you have the president, yeah. Are you done?
Well, I don't know yet. For right now, I am. Go ahead.
But no, I had the president of the company come in, so a lot of work to make sure everything was just so-so, and to say they were impressed was an understatement, so yay me.
Yeah, that was you, obviously.
That was me.
The man in the trenches, the man in the arena, if we want to go with Teddy Roosevelt.
Arena.
We should have a picture of you standing by a stack of Pepsis, and then we could just put over top of it that speech by Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the
arena. There we go.
The man in the
arena.
Yeah, that'd be perfect for you. Well, we steer clear of a lot of things, but I did want to kind of get into something I saw yesterday, which I thought was kind of interesting for news. It would appear that, and we've talked before about the fact that Gina Carino got removed from Disney some stuff, and we have our opinions on it, but we won't really voice that, I don't guess. But the interesting thing is that Elon Musk is funding her lawsuit against the mouse.
Is this for $75,000?
I don't know. I think it's more of a principle of the thing than it is anything else.
Well, I think because the money wasn't
for her and for him. It is an interesting thing, and it will be interesting to see how and if that affects Star Wars and future productions and future characters, and whether or not we get to see her character return at some point. I still doubt it, but maybe.
Well, so, I mean, the fact that there's a lawsuit involved, I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
No, probably not, unless there's... I haven't read all of it or anything, which I think I want to, just out of pure curiosity to see, you know, kind of where this is going.
See what the complaint actually is.
Yeah, it's a discrimination lawsuit is what it is. And it'd be interesting to see how that goes. Entertainment is become a, you know, sometimes it's a slippery slope. you know, for some and sometimes not for others, but it all really kind of depends. So that's an interesting thing that I think might be interesting to follow. Well,
there'll be more to come on that, and you wonder what kind of precedent it sets if she wins.
Or if she loses. Yeah, I think this is a precedent-setting action just either because way. It's been filed. Because either way, you know, either way, it could be bad, you know, or good, depending on how you look at it. So it's interesting. So it could be a thing. So something else that I did, and I don't know that I mentioned it the last time we talked about, because I don't know if I've done it yet or not, but Mitch Calhoun, my buddy that plays Legion, really good painter, great guy. Him and Ashley, his fiance, both play Legion. They're great, great people. He got into Bolt Action, and I went and played a demo game with him. And Bolt Action is a tabletop war miniature game in World War II. Okay. So, and for one, those sorry SOBs, him and Will, and I know you're listening, you got me into it, you schmucks. I ordered models yesterday, you jerks.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, you freaking jerks, yeah. but I'd sold a bunch of stuff on eBay, so I converted that to this hobby. So. But anyway, yeah, man, it's really cool. So my idea is playing it just for a break from Legion, just for something fun. But so, you know, Legion is Star Wars, and it is, you know, sci-fi. And it's, you know, it's make-believe or whatever. So, you know,
can do some crazy stuff.
Well, right. So you have vehicles and tanks and stuff in there, and they have a bunch of wounds, right? Well, in Bolt Action, that's not the case. Seeing how as Mitch one-shotted my tank and in the first game, and then the next game, I did it to him with a bazooka. And if you just, you know, it's sort of like Warhammer, but a whole lot easier. So it depending on if you're a new or a regular or a veteran unit, and that'll cause different points, right? Is how hard it is to hit you. And so the roll mechanics for this game seems more realistic, because unless you're shooting something that's high explosive into a bunch of soft bodies, you're probably not going to wipe the entire unit with one shot, unlike in Legion where you can. So in real life, you know, unless you're putting a big freaking howitzer round into a platoon, you're likely not going to wipe the whole unit with one shot.
Well, you're not going to take a tank out with a 45.
No, but you can't do that in this anyway. You're right. It has to be a round that would take it out, an anti-armor round. And it's really, really cool. And the miniatures look fantastic. And each nationality has, like, its advantages. Like, normally, if you advance, you shoot at a penalty, okay? Well, all American units don't do that. If they advance, they can shoot without penalty. German machine guns have one extra hit dice because they're better machine guns. Japanese infantry are phenomenal at hand-to-hand fighting. So the word is from this, the local guys that have been playing and stuff, is that if you play a Japanese army and you let them get close, you might as well just quit. And the Russians have something else because Will is playing the Russians. And so I bought a U.S. Army starter kit. So I'm pretty excited about that. It comes with a Sherman tank and a truck and some infantry, and it's really cool. I think they're like 1/72nd scale, so they're small. And it's a really cool game. And the neat one thing about it that I think is neat that's different than like Legion, where it's Legion is alternating activations. So like if I win the pip, you know, on the card, so I get to go first or whatever. Then you go, then I go, then you go. Well, in Warhammer, I forgot how you pick which person goes first, but the entire freaking side goes, and then the other side goes, which I think is stupid. Well, in Bolt Action, it's all random. You have a six-sided die that has six different things that your unit can do. And all your dice for all your guys go into a bag, and all the opponents goes into the bag, and then somebody draws them. So it's totally random.
Ooh.
Right, which is more realistic. Because, you know, there's not, it, you know, it's not like, okay, I go, now you go. Now I go, now you go. You know what I mean? It's just random. Maybe this guy just, this NCO gives an order faster than the other one, you know?
Yeah.
It's just how it is. So there is that random reaction time in it, which is, I think, is really, really cool. And, you know, it rolls six-sided dice for everything. And it's really neat. So I'm super pumped up about it. I'm really excited to paint them. When I get them in. So that's really fun, man. And I think it's really
cool. I
figured
out how to break this game already.
No, you haven't. You clearly have not.
Yes, I have.
Genius.
How to make the American troops unstoppable. I will print you a Captain America mini.
Oh, okay. That'll fix it, right?
And then so the Americans become unstoppable.
So that's true. That's true. Well, I ordered these from... I ordered one small box from Amazon because it was super duper on sale. And then I ordered a few other things from Warlord Games, which is who produces it. They also produce a Civil War one and a Roman, and then I think a different medieval one. But anyway, all the same stuff, right? So I ordered it from them, and it's coming out of the UK. And it was a really good deal, free shipping from the UK, which was cool. But one thing I ordered because it was like $4 is a General Patton. I don't even know if you can play him in the game, but he's part of it. So I was like, oh, I got to have Patton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because my granddad's unit in World War II was assigned to Patton's army for a little while. So I got to paint up a Patton just for fun. Maybe just when I play, just set him on the side of the board or whatever, just for good.
Good vibes. Loves the winner.
Yeah, good vibes, you know? So anyway, it's really, really cool.
Isn't it neat though how like tabletop games have evolved? It started out, you know, Gygax was into
Chainmail.
Well, even before that, he was into games like this.
Yeah.
Where like he was playing like Civil War, they were doing like battles and stuff. And then it became Chainmail, which became Dungeons and Dragons, which, you know, different iterations of it.
Yep.
But the fact that now it's kind of going full circle where you're getting a lot more of these tabletop games that are going back to the roots of actual military strategy games. And I just think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not all the D20 system.
No. And you know, like I said, I tried to play Warhammer and it just wasn't my thing. This one is just easier to understand. And, you know, like the starter kits come with like this, you know, piece of cardboard that you pop out of the inside of the box and it has all the basic rule set on it, you know, so it's just all there, you know. And another thing that's neat is like you can buy a little booklet. I got a digital version of it for like $3 or whatever. And it's like the armies of, so I got the armies of America and it has all the stats for every possible unit that they have stats for in the game for that faction, for that nationality, right? And some of them, they don't sell. So you have the ability to either go on and find an STL file or design one yourself for that unit and produce it and play it in the game. So it's pretty dink. It's pretty neat, man. I think it's really, really cool.
Why do I feel like we're going to be printing some minis?
Well, I'm digging my way through all the junk I got in the garage to get my resin printer over there on my workbench so it doesn't stink up the house.
Well, I know, but I can be like, I can see this happening.
Oh, it's
it. It's like, hey, man, how quick can you turn out a unit of XYZ?
Dude, I'm telling you, Wes, you and your love of history, you better not touch this game. Because I'm telling you, you would absolutely love it. Because Mitch has gone and researched units and painted up the units with the correct insignias and all this kind of stuff. And his stuff looks really, really good. All of his stuff, everything he paints looks really, really good. So that it's really exciting. But speaking of painting, I just wanted to give a shout out real quick. And if I didn't, I may have last week. I've slept since then and had a lot of stuff going on. But my buddy Alan, who listens to the show that plays Legion, did a phenomenal saber tank for his Grand Army of the Republic Army.
Okay.
It's magnificent, man. I mean, I tried to steal it and I couldn't get away with it. But I don't even play clones, but this thing is phenomenal. So I just a shout out to him, man. We got a lot of, I thought I did pretty good, but no, man, I'm getting wasted by these guys that do a lot better painting job than me. So it's freaking awesome to see.
Kind of going back to the Star Wars Legion there, it's amazing what people, because I really wish that I could 3D model.
Oh my God, yeah. We got to get Brian to give us a lesson on that, because I know Brian can do it pretty well, so we need to get him to hook us up.
But this guy, and I wish I could find it. I'm trying to find it. I can't find it. But he had made the hover tank that the droid army used in episode one.
Yeah, the AT-AT. Or the AT, AT-AT, I think. Yeah. No,
that is not right. AT-AT.
Somebody's going to freaking... somebody's going to get me, I know. But anyway, carry on.
But the hover tanks that the droids used.
Yeah.
They had went in and had a mag... You know, like, you see like the little floating football helmets and stuff that'll spin and do stuff?
Yes, AAT. Okay. AAT Trade Federation Battle Tank. That's what it's called. Okay.
But anyways, they had set it up where it would hover. Like you could put terrain.
That's cool.
And it would float, and they had it balanced so that it was, because, you know, it's a really weird shape because it's heavy on the front end and long on the back end, but where it tilts, so it keep it from tilting back.
Yeah.
They had it weighted, and it would float. So, like, when you set it on the table, there's no support. So, you know, like, we'll use the clear supports. Like, okay, I'm flying, you know, it's actually hovering above the terrain. And I was just like, that is cool.
That's pretty cool, man.
So, if you painted that up and had your battle going on, and you had it where it could literally just, you know, it's okay, you're going to turn, and it just... floating there. I just thought that was cool. So there's creative people. That's one thing I wish I could do with 3D modeling, but I've not got there yet.
Well, that reminds me of something. You know, I talked about I wanted to start doing some historical models, and I wanted to do some dioramas. And I was inspired by the guy at Bull Eye Hobby Time that did the steampunk Wild West thing. And I remember I had seen something where someone had made a diorama with World War II Germany using supernatural futuristic stuff, okay? And I couldn't remember where I'd seen it, but I just happened to... YouTube algorithm blessed me with it popping back up, and I saw it. And it's this guy out of Germany. So the idea is not mine, but I'm going to try to recreate this because I think it would look amazing in my room up here. And the guy built a warehouse, just like a facade of a warehouse. And inside it are all these scientists, a tiger tank and another tank and some German infantry and a motorcycle, right? And one of them is halfway through what looks like a Stargate that lights up. So he built the tank model and cut it in half and did that. Well, the net, and it's freaking so cool. All the little details the guy puts into it is amazing. And he 3D prints a lot of, with a resin printer, a lot of the little details and stuff. Well, anyway, the next part of the series is the other end, because he didn't tell you where it's going.
Gone through,
right. And it's in like rural Appalachia. So it's an invasion of America by Germany in World War II via Stargates. So you've got the front end of the tank coming through the other end. So he has this big swirl that he made out of Lexan and painted it. And this German infantry run it. And there's this old house that looks like it's in rural Appalachia, right? And this old man sitting there with a, look like a bottle of whiskey or something in his hand and a pipe in his mouth. And he's looking at this German officer that's standing in front of him. And it's so cool. I mean, it is so cool. So I'd like to do something similar to that. That's very inspirational to it, to me. And it, Because, you know, I think steampunk stuff looks cool. I think alternate history stuff looks real cool. And I think it would be really, really neat. And he did it all in 1/35th scale, so it's a decent size, and it has a lot of detail. But this guy's phenomenal. He's out of Germany. He doesn't talk. He just has, because I wouldn't be able to understand him anyway. But he has, it has subtitles for his text, and he plays music. But he goes through the whole process of his stuff, and it is so cool. How he did it. I mean, every little thing, he 3D printed a bar of soap and put it on a sink in this warehouse.
Oh, really?
No, all the detail that he puts into it is so cool. And I'm like, man, that would be just, ooh, chef's kiss. You know what I mean? It would be so freaking cool. But that stuff really pumps me up because I was like, man, that's neat. And I know I could probably do it if I just sat down and took my time. I've got the equipment here, you know? And it would be really cool. So I'm excited about that. Went down to Hobbytown USA here in Knoxville, like last week or something, and looked around at the models and stuff. I'm like, oh my God, this would be so cool. But those things are neat, man. People's craftsmanship is amazing.
Well, I mean, I like watching, there's a few people that I've found on, Instagram.
Yeah.
Making terrain and different things out of foam. And just the time and the effort and the skill that they've put into these, it's amazing. And how it can enhance a game. And I mean, something simple like a bar of soap, you know, just a little a background piece.
Yeah.
How it can really just, you know, because I mean, when we play, we're using the map. I mean, we use some terrain. I know Scott's got some stuff. But, you know, for the most part, we're on a limited time, you know, we don't have time to set up these huge boards with all the different terrain pieces. But it is something that I really enjoy seeing what people are able to make.
You know, D&D, I mean, I guess the use of elaborate terrain could enhance it. But, you know, at least the way that we play, terrain doesn't play a lot of role in the mechanics of the game for us, you know.
Well, I think a lot of dungeon
crawling and things like that. Whereas in other games that are predominantly tabletop war games, terrain is vitally important. It's part of the mechanics. Whereas in D&D, it's not so much.
Well, I know that when Jason and I would play BattleTech, terrain was very important. Mm-hmm. But when you're poor and you don't have a lot of stuff, you kind of improvise.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, I think that goes back. I know you're always fond of saying the theater of the mind.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times we had to imagine, you know, well, okay, they're above us. You know, we're kind of going up. So
you can do that in D&D. And we don't use guns in D&D because guns don't belong in D&D. So we don't have
to. No, they do not.
We don't have
and
to worry
And I know
about
people
that.
Will argue in the comments.
Well, you're wrong because guns do not.
An online argument with a guy about the fact that
guns don't belong in D&D.
Well, they were, and I'm like, yes, I know what you're talking about, and I played for 3 years, and no one has ever used that weapon.
In our D&D world, they are not there. So,
yes.
If they're in yours, that's okay. You're wrong, but it's okay.
It's okay to be wrong.
It's okay to be wrong. Not everybody's right. Nobody is perfect as the Nerdy Old Man podcast is. So
I know, but I am so very close. I mean, it's like
Wes on the verge of perfection since 1977.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Did I mention that I'm modest as well and humble?
Yes, the most humble and the most quiet, obviously.
Hey. Ric Flair said it ain't bragging if you can back it up.
That's true. When Wes is around, you never know he's there. He's so quiet.
Now, you got to admit, I do have a really bad tendency of sneaking up on people.
And then you're really loud.
Being in the woods, and then I'm really loud once they're talking.
Hey, just another thing that I found out while watching wrestling, The Rock is back. He's part of it. Interesting because, again, you know, a lot of
Well, that's what happens when you get $30 million
Well, you know, he's in as one of the chief board members of TKO, which owns the WWE and
UFC.
Okay. And McMahon is out due to allegations of misconduct. So he's out.
Well, that's crappy.
Well, if you haven't read it.
It took him a minute.
Yes.
Folks.
Yes. That gets a second one. And a third one.
It took him a minute.
Yeah, I'm slow this morning. I'm slow every morning. But still.
It's been funny because Die Hard Derek, buddy of mine,
he's
a big fan of wrestling. Yes. And he does our Macho Man for the 865 Superstars.
Yes.
And we've been having a discussion in one of our chats. I brought up just a what if, you know, hey, let's look at it this way. And he and I think we're about to fix all of WWE, FEs, whatever they're calling themselves now, all their booking problems. So Derek and I are going to be on the booking team. And,
oh, that's good.
So we think we should start booking, and we'll have things straightened out here in about a week or so.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think with The Rock in the position that he's in, and with Triple H pretty much having the reins of everything.
For now.
But I think there's a good shot of it getting better. I mean, the stuff I've seen recently has been better than in recent years. And they've brought some people back. They brought some people back during the Royal Rumble that I felt were really good that they cut, that McMahon cut. And it was good to see that. So that's good, and I think they got some decent storylines coming around. The Rock actually showing up to energize things and mix up the norm that's been going on, I think could be a positive thing for the storytelling. So I was excited to see it. So it'd be cool. But he's kind of turning the heel right now, which I also think is kind of neat because he's a pretty good – he's good both ways.
He's better as a heel than he is.
He's a hella good trash talker. So that's one of the key things, I think. So everybody loves that Attitude Era stuff.
But yeah, Derek and I had fixed the whole debacle that they had.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good, Derek. Yeah, I appreciate you doing that. Yeah.
We came up, you know, I told him what I would do, and he goes, "That's booking 101." And I'm like, "I know, and I don't understand why they can't do it." But anyway,
I bet you Derek likes LA Knight. I like LA Knight. LA Knight is like the.
I will admit.
Have you watched LA Knight?
I've been out of wrestling for a while, but I have. I've been catching up somewhat on YouTube.
Yeah.
And LA Knight has really impressed me.
He is one. He's good at what he does, right? But he is like the reincarnation of the Attitude Era.
Well, he's learning how to manipulate and control the crowd.
Yeah.
And he's starting to get them into the palm of his hand. And once he does, I think he'll be the hottest thing. Yep. I mean, that's my limited knock. Because like I said, I've not been up on wrestling in a while.
Got everybody because saying I'm not L.A. Knight. Yeah. See, it's the stuff, man. It's great.
Okay, whatever. I honestly think that if they would get back to solid, just book matches that make sense.
Mm-hmm.
When they were trying to bring Rock in to go against Roman, you know, at Mania, and I'm like, it's stupid. You do. Okay, this is how you fix it, and Derek agreed with me. You book Cody and Roman.
Mm-hmm.
You have Rock help Cody win it. Then you set up Roman Rock, and you get away from Cody. You get
which
Roman
they might
out of
do
the title thing,
which they might do because it looks like Derek, things might be going in that direction a little bit.
Die Hard Derek's fear was that they end up making it a triple threat, and you have Rock outside interference, and then you take that story, you let them run with that for however long Rocky's going to be actually in the ring.
Yep.
And you let Cody, you know, start a story with someone else. If it be someone like LA Knight.
Yep.
For example.
It is I think it is kind of time for Roman to kind of fade away a little bit.
It seems like they're really pushing for him to have the longest streak.
He's already got
champion.
It. It's time it's time to just let it go, man. You know, I mean, he's good, right? But it's just kind of over it, you know?
Well, I don't know. From what I saw, I just never connected with Roman, you know, for whatever reason. But if you do it, end it at Mania and then start him and Rock and go a different direction and let Cody have his space for however long he's going to stay in wrestling.
Right.
And if it's something where you build towards LA Knight, you do that. And then you can create another superstar. Cody can, if he wants to retire or, you know, get into the booking, you know, kind of behind the scenes stuff, become an agent, whatever, then he can do that. And then you basically can do with Cody what you're doing with Rock right now, where if you hit a patch where things kind of, we don't know what to do to kind of energize things. It's kind of what WCW did with Ric Flair when they kind of lost what they were going to do. You know, NWO had kind of, what do we do? You know, writing, we're kind of losing the Vince. You know, they would bring Flair in and there'd be this big pop.
Yeah.
Same thing they're doing with Rock. I mean, you could do that with Cody if you're building someone like LA Knight.
Yep.
But that's just me. What do I know? I'm a Jim Cornette kind of guy.
There you go.
I want to see him wrestle.
We'll see him wrestle, baby. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you don't make everything a flipping trampoline jumping jack match, you know, it's actually wrestle.
I will tell you this, and I actually hate that I didn't go, but Abby went to the house show that WWE did, like, I think it was last week at the Coliseum. Holy crap. She kept sending
shows at the Coliseum.
She kept sending me like videos and pictures and like texts of who kept showing. Like the whole freaking roster was there, and she said it was phenomenal. Said it was we've been to a couple SmackDowns and stuff,
and we watched
all that stuff
because of commercials.
Dude, she said this was the best thing. The best thing.
If you go to a house show, a wrestling. So much better than a TV show.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the breaks. You don't have all the nonsense. It's like.
And like everybody was there. There was like a ton of people there. And if you sat close, they were interacting with them a whole lot more. It's a smaller venue. So like there was no bad seats versus like Thompson Bowling Arena, which if you're way up high, it's still not that bad, but Coliseum's smaller. She said it was phenomenal. So next time they do a house show, I'm 100% going.
If you ever get a chance, go to a house show over a TV show. It's so much better.
Well, and the tickets were like $25.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I was like, what?
You ain't paying for all the TV.
And I just couldn't, you know, we couldn't go, but she went, so it was cool. But anyway, yeah, man. So that was exciting, and that's a pretty good show, Wes.
I think
some of our best shows are when we have no freaking clue as to what we're going to do.
Well, I think everybody knows that we will throw out a ramble episode just like that.
I mean, that's what comes natural to us. But it's D&D night tonight.
Yes.
Will we survive the dark denizens of Ravenloft?
I look like one of them.
And you have Fireball.
Yeah, I have Fireball.
No, you have a different thing.
No, I have Fireball.
You have Fireball.
Fireball.
Oh, it's going to be good stuff. All right, man, that was fun. But we'll be back, so it's a fair warning.
Stay tuned for more.
That's right. So anyway, until next time, this is the old bald man Chad with the lovable one and only Redneck Wes.
Yeehaw! Yeah.
Hey, everybody. We're super excited that we now have our variant cover of Rich Davis's issue one of Prometheus in Chains. It's an exclusive cover. Only 100 issues available. We have those for sale. They're going to go fast. So if you want one, reach out to us. You can send us a payment of $20 to our PayPal, which is nerdyoldmenpodcast@gmail.com. That's nerdyoldmenpodcast@gmail.com.